The Lord's Church is His spiritual body. We began a series last time and simply trying to answer the question, what is the church? And we're trying to answer this from what the Bible has to offer. You know, many times I go about the country preaching the gospel, I find people who seem to be quite concerned and quite confused about different Bible subjects. You know, an individual told me just recently, they said, how in the world would a person pick the right church? Because there are so many different ideas. Now, you can sign this whole thing off if you take the attitude that some people do, that it makes no difference about the church. But you see, if someone would say that to you, and you would ask them to give you chapter and verse, you see, there's no chapter and verse in the Bible that ever advocated the idea that it makes no difference about the church. So I don't believe we can solve the problem by answering the question, what is a church, by saying, well, after all, it doesn't make any difference. We talked on the broadcast last week that the church is a spiritual body of Christ. And if we're going to find out what that truly is and what it means in the different parts of discussion in this series, then we're going to have to simply look at the Word of God. I heard a story one time, and I don't really know whether this is actually true or not. But if it is true, it simply points out the idea that we have in mind. If it isn't true, if it's just a story, considered from the standpoint of what a moral might be connected with it. The thought was passed on to me that a lady was having a difficult time in trying to find the right church, and she eventually asked a very well-educated man regarding the church, and he said, well, what type of pursuit have you made? Well, she said, I've gone to this denomination, I've gone to that denomination, I've gone to another denomination, and she said, I found many sincere people, but she said these people were believing differently. And when I really got into the subject, she just simply said, well, he just told me, well, after all, it doesn't make any difference. Just join a good church. And he said, well, you've just been looking at all the different ideas that are in the world? And she said, yes. He said, I'd suggest that you look in the Bible. And I believe whether that's actually something that happened or not, there's a moral connected with it. It's always a good thing to consider what the Word of God has to offer on the subject. Like a man said to me also recently, he said, you know, it's always good to read the directions if you want to find out how to put something together. So in trying to understand or to get a knowledge of what the church is, then we're going to have to look at the Word of God. If you were listening last time when we brought this broadcast to you, we simply went to the first chapter of Ephesians and showed that the church is a spiritual body of Jesus Christ, of which He is the head. I believe when you put it together, you'll find that Jesus went back to heaven, and there we understand that He was put as the head of the church by His heavenly Father. Now, I'm going to prove that by simply going to this same 16th chapter of Matthew that we referred to on the broadcast last time, where Jesus made the statement in verse 18, that I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. In Matthew 16:19, he said, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In one verse, he refers to this spiritual body as the church. The next verse, he refers to it as the kingdom. And I believe there is indeed a similarity. Because every person that obeyed the gospel of Christ was added by the Lord to the church, as we have in Acts 2:47. But the same principle takes place when you look at the kingdom, because here's a vital reference that I think you ought to consider. In Colossians 1:13, it mentions about man being delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. What this really sets up? Is that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and Jesus Christ is also the King of the kingdom. Now, the church belongs to Him. It is His kingdom. It is a kingdom eventually that He will deliver up to the Father when He is to come again, according to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, but He must reign until He has put all enemies under His feet. So what do we have here? We have the church also being likened unto a kingdom. So the Lord adding to the church daily such as should be saved, or delivering from the power of darkness those who obey the gospel and translating them into the kingdom, sets up a very interesting circumstance. When Peter, along with the rest of the apostles, received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, He began to preach, as we have recorded in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. He answered the charge that some had thought when the apostles were talking in different languages or in different tongues, they being men of Galilee who were not educated in the temple schools, they simply thought that the apostles were drunken. And Peter said in that 14th verse, they're not drunken as you supposed. He said it's just the third hour of the day or 9 o'clock in the morning. But then he pointed out what really did take place. He said it's happened according to the teaching of Joel the prophet in the Old Testament. Now you can read this in that sermon in the second chapter of Acts, beginning with verse 14, and just continue to read until the sermon is over in that chapter. He mentioned that Joel said that in the last days the Lord would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Now the Holy Spirit had come down upon the apostles in Acts 2, 1-4. In fact, the fourth verse says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with different tongues or in different languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. So Peter preached this wonderful sermon, and when he brought it to a climax down in verse 36 of Acts 2, he simply said, "The same Jesus that you have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ." When you put Lord and Christ together, you're actually stating that one has been anointed as a ruler or a king. So I believe that God actually did this for Christ when he went back to heaven. A companion sequence that's very vital in this study is found in the second chapter of the Philippian Epistle. And if you'll take time in your study to go to the second chapter of Philippians, you'll find some interesting things here about what God did for Christ when he raised him from the dead. I'm going to take time on the broadcast today to simply go over to the Philippian Epistle and notice here in a very thought-provoking way what really took place here. In the second chapter of Philippians, beginning with verse 8, it tells us what Jesus did when he came to this earth. Philippians 2 and 8. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him." You see, after his death on the cross, then God took over. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." He's a Lord. He's a King of kings. He's a Lord of lords. Now, what does this have to do with what is the church? Well, the church occupies the position in the lives of men just as a kingdom would be associated with them. Those who have come from sin have obeyed the gospel. The Lord has personally delivered them from that power of darkness or sin, and he's made them a citizen in this kingdom. Paul said also, you know, in his epistles, that our citizenship, the word conversation is used in the King James translation, but it conveys the idea of citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. So when you leave the realm of sin, you leave that behind. You owe nothing to sin. Paul said in Romans 6 and 6, you now are free from sin. You no longer serve sin. He went on to say later in that chapter, "Let not sin reign in your mortal body." He said it does not have dominion over you. You're free from that. So one is delivered from a power of sin upon his obedience to the gospel, and he becomes a citizen in that kingdom. And Jesus Christ is the head of his life. He's the head of the church. He's the king of the kingdom. Someone says, well, how do you bring this about? Well, it's brought about by obeying the gospel of Christ. Paul spoke of this gospel as a form of doctrine in the 6th chapter of Romans. He said, "You've obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." You'll find that in Romans 6:18. So here's what happened. The form of doctrine, as it is proclaimed, tells us to not alone hear the word, but to believe it. We not alone believe it, but we are told to repent from our sins. Repentance is a part of our conversion, for Peter said in a sermon in chapter 3 of Acts now, in verse 19, "Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out." And in all cases, we understand that there was an announcement with the mouth what one believed in their heart. We use as an illustration the 8th chapter of Acts, where we have the case of the man from Ethiopia hearing the gospel. And when he heard the gospel, he truly must have believed it. He wanted to turn to the Lord. So he said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip the evangelist simply said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God." So there was a confession of faith. And that was followed by his baptism. He went down into the water. He was immersed. He came up out of the water. This was for the remission of sins that we have in Acts 2:38. And the Apostle Paul, in telling about his own conversion, in Acts 22:16, Luke writes it down for us, so to speak. He simply said that he was told to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So the Lord adds people who have done that to his church. He also delivers them from the power of darkness or sin and lets them be a part of the kingdom. We are servants of righteousness. We are citizens of his kingdom. So the church is tied in with the kingdom. And as the kingdom is going to be delivered up to the Father in that last day, in that 15th chapter 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about it there, so we find that the church is going to have served its purpose here upon this earth. So I'm wondering, as you listen today, if you have believed the word after hearing it, if you've repented, if you've confessed your faith in Christ, that you believe he is the Son of God, and if you've been baptized into Christ. Now, if you haven't done that, I think you ought to consider it seriously. If you have, then truly the Lord's added you to the church, and you are a citizen of his kingdom. We want to say again, if you have questions, feel free to send them in. But your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ have brought you this broadcast. Why don't you be in the house of the Lord today? Why don't you tell a friend or neighbor regarding this broadcast? And be with us next time as we deal once again with a question. What is the church?